Thank you. So we have a day together till about 4:30 where we all together can practice these most simple and difficult arts of knowing the difference between the contents of our mind and what. And I'll just leave that as a question for now. Because nobody would be here, in fact, even people who aren't here, I would say everybody is interested in the condition of their mind. Anybody not? Anybody not? And there's something so precise and compassionate in the Buddha's teachings that can show us more and more clearly for ourselves to practice, to realize for ourselves what it is to come out of the spin of the mind-made world. What it is to understand a release that is not born of fixing our mind or getting the best kind of programs running in it, but actually something more counterintuitive, we could say, that is realizable for us, that we can wake up to. And the theme of today is called Falling Awake. And wakefulness is entirely what the Buddha is interested in and in pointing us to for our own lives. Wakefulness. So I'll speak more in the course of the day about what sleepfulness looks like and what wakefulness looks like. So how we can start to recognize it more and more for ourselves. It's not generally where our momentum goes. Our momentum goes into the patterns. You know how that goes with our mind? Something kicks off and away we go. That's where the energy often is. That's where the momentum often is. That's where the belief and the faith often is, in this patterning and programming of our mind. So let's see what's possible for us today. Yeah, as I was sitting in there preparing and thinking about the theme, and feeling you all come in, hearing voices I recognized and hearing you all kind of gather, feeling very touched actually that beings want to wake up. I mean, you might not call it that. Maybe you haven't even used those words before. Maybe you just want some peace or relief or help. Doesn't matter. However you conceive of it, that you're willing to come and sit with your own body and mind, with either the intuition that something else is possible, maybe it's a deep faith, maybe there's a real knowledge and grounding already in Dharma and the love of that possibility, that we've tasted it, seen it, know it for ourselves. Maybe it's sheer desperation that brings you here. All of it is welcome. All of it is welcome. That beings want to sit here and look at their mind. I mean, what a thing to do on a Saturday. So, welcome. And I want to check who's here. I know some of you, and it's really, really lovely to see you. I want to know how many people consider themselves quite new to practice. You're just kind of getting a toehold or a foothold in the kind of theme. I know there's a number of you have been practicing in a mindfulness-based training, which is a wonderful kind of sister, we could say, to this work, or you know, it's part of this work. How many of you consider, or how many of you primarily consider yourself that you're coming from a mindfulness-based approach, and this kind of day-long thing is new for you? I mean, I may not even be wording that. Okay, there's a good number of you. Great, welcome. So if I use any jargon, tut. Or not. It's easy to happen. Or you just sort of ask me or something like that. How many people consider themselves new or relatively new to Dharma practice? So that might include some of you guys. Okay, great. So we can also meet and clarify a little bit some of the themes of what I'll be speaking about as well. Okay. You all right, Elizabeth?
Oh, there's just one here.
Oh, there's someone here, okay. So a couple of things to support us during the day before we kick off in the formal practices. It will be mostly silent. For you, that means not speaking to each other. You might think I'm far from silent, as I will say many things from the front. But to really give each other the solitude, which doesn't mean ignoring them. You know, you'll see them, you can smile if you like, but to really let the other one have this sort of integrity of not pulling and pushing if you've got friends here, of, you know, winking, tutting, it's going well, it's going bad. leave them alone. Leave them alone. But at the same time, you're here with each other, we're here with each other, and that's a gift, actually. Just very briefly, we one of the supports to practice is a grounding in ethics, actually, which doesn't mean you have had to have been perfectly ethical all your life. It starts now. It starts now. It's not a cause for reflecting on how bad we are, which is too easily happens in kind of religious context. It's a reflection more of what is it that's going to support my body and mind to settle here. So to that end, today, just an atmosphere of not harming, an atmosphere of taking care of the environment, each other, the property. I don't know if there's not many insects around here, it doesn't seem like, but we make Dharma practice a refuge for beings so that beings can breathe out. Beings don't have to look over our shoulder in fear for our safety, or even just that kind of pushing and pulling that we can do to each other. You know, the quips and the smart remarks, or the, you know, the friendly insults, or whatever it is that we can sometimes not take care with. So really taking care, silence makes that a lot easier. Helps our ethical behaviour. Speech can be a beautiful thing, but the mindfulness and the deepening in our practice helps us start to be able to have more choice around our action of body, speech and mind. When there really is no mindfulness and the mind isn't trained, we're really kind of programmed. We're really conditioned. And we might have some wholesome conditioning, wonderful. And part of Dharma practice is wholesome conditioning. But a lot of our conditioning doesn't really serve us. And there's a greater theme within Dharma practice of a deconditioning, knowing what is unconditioned, for a real freedom of knowing what we are beyond our programming. And this is something I think the heart is drawn to. Probably why a lot of you are here. Okay. So, let's take a few minutes to arrive. And what I'd like us to do for this is to, as much as we're able, bring ourselves wholly here. So what I mean by that is, you might think, I am wholly here. Look, I'm here. A lot of traditions or men and women who practice silence or contemplative work do things to help us arrive. And we haven't got so many rituals here. It has a more secular context for good reason, actually. But there's what I would like is for us to bring our body, and you say, but it's here. But we're waking up the body as well. Our spiritual practice, even if we've got a painful body, an aching body, a body that we'd rather have had a different one. All of the kind of ambivalences we have about body, we're welcoming our body here because our body is included in our practice. So body, our speech, which in the tradition, the speech faculty, the sankhara of called the Vajisankhara is really the articulating function of the mind, which sometimes comes out as speech, but often it's the speech we're telling ourselves the whole time. Have you noticed how you talk to yourself a lot? Even if it's not loud, it's actually going on in there. We're bringing this faculty as well, honing it in to what we're doing here today. So I'll tell you how we'll do that. Body, speech, and mind, in this case, the citta sankhara, the citta is how we're going to, I'll translate that word today, is the function of what we are that is resonant, that resonates, that is the sensitive resonating function of that sometimes is colored with emotion, sometimes it's colored with mind states, feelings, sometimes it's clear and spacious and silent. But this kind of changeable, fluid, almost like those lava lamps that you had in us. I think they came back into fashion a few years ago. So, a little exercise just to bring the body, speech and mind to kind of gather ourselves here for our work today. So, don't get too comfortable. Let's come to standing, if you can stand. If you can't stand,